for our scripture. We're Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46. Listen to another parable, Jesus says. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it was amazing. It is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, and it will be given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because the crowds regarded him as a prophet. Please be seated. Are you ready? Have you decided if you're a landowner? Raise your hand. No landowners. Okay, have you decided? Are you a tenant on the vineyard? Anybody decided you are a tenant? Nobody's chosen, exactly. Okay, how about servants? Are we all servants? What do you know? This sermon may fall flat as a dove dying off the edge of the pulpit. I'm going to tell you a little bit about these questions as we consider each character in the story. What kind of person am I? And what makes me this way? And here's the most pertinent question for us as a community of faith, I think, is, do I need to change at all? Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for this interesting and difficult story from Jesus. We ask that you help us to consider it in light of World Communion Sunday. We ask that you help us find our way through this parable, that you help us open our hearts to where you are calling us to change and grow. Help us consider, what kind of people are we, and what makes us this way? We ask, Holy God, that you use the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts for your pleasure. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ever felt like a landowner? You haven't, obviously, but I have, and here's one time I felt like a landowner. In 1991, I returned to Zimbabwe, Africa, with my mom and dad and my sister to visit our homeland, where my paternal grandparents went in 1919 as agricultural missionaries. There is an avenue that's named Alvord Avenue. There's an agricultural institute called Alvord Institute, and it's because my granddad taught folks how to rotate crops and terrace land in order to make sure that the land was being replenished properly with the proper nutrients and with the proper things that the land needs in order to produce good growth. Chip, you would think I'd remember lime related to the soil, right, with this kind of background, but I'll need a reminder about that. Chip and I were in conversation about that earlier this week. And in 1991, this was a chance to go back to our homeland and see what it was like since independence in 1980. Rhodesia became Zimbabwe and everything was different. At the very time when I felt like I was coming home, my mom and dad and sister and I had pulled into a United Methodist congregation, which my dad helped to start, and it had mushroomed unbelievably. It started in a small cinder block building, and now it has lots of buildings around it, and evidently it's one of the largest churches in Harare, Zimbabwe, which is the capital. As we were pulling into the parking lot, a little boy looked at us in the car, and he yelled out, "Warungo!" And my brothers and sisters, that means white people. Because not many white people were around. And who knows, we might have been the first white people he had seen in his young life. And here is what I realized at that point, when I heard his voice and realized, white people, no matter how much I might feel at home and feel like Zimbabwe is my quote-unquote homeland, whether we think we belong or not, we are really all guests on the face of the earth. And we're really all guests here at this table, which we are about to partake in. And as such, we need to remember that we have to welcome each other as strangers and allow God to make us friends. No matter how much we might feel that this is our land, that the pews in which we sit belong to us, we have to remember that God is calling us to welcome the strangers and the aliens in our midst. We have to remember that God welcomed us at one point in our lives, and because God welcomed us, then we in turn must welcome others. That's what that little word, warungo, pointed out to me. Okay, tenants. What kind of tenants are we? Are we good tenants who take care of the land, who take care of the things that have been entrusted to us? Or are we tenants who might be careless and not give the time and attention that we need to give related to our story of faith? In 2006, I was privileged to go to Israel-Palestine. And on that trip, with a group of people from Emory in Atlanta, we went to the Mount of Beatitudes. This is the holy site in which the Beatitudes are said to have taken place. There's a beautiful chapel there. It's on a hill looking down into the Sea of Galilee, and it's wonderfully picturesque. It has beautiful architecture, beautiful icons in the chapel. And what's interesting about that place is that people who are Christians from all over the world make pilgrimage to the Mount of Beatitudes and to that chapel. When we gathered there, we gathered as a group speaking English. And then we prayed, we worshiped together in our little group, and then we had free time to wander around on the mount, to reflect on our own in silence. As I walked around on that beautiful, brisk day, not unlike today, I realized the power of Christ is not ours alone. Here's what I mean. I walked to a small group of French people who were partaking of communion off to the side on a stone, sitting on stones around in a circle, speaking French and having communion. Then I walked a little further on to a corner where a group of Ethiopian Orthodox people were praying in their own language, in their own way, wearing crisp white robes and crisp white headdresses, worshiping the very same God and the very same Christ who saved us and who calls us. Then I walked a little further on, closer to the chapel, and at the porch of the Mount of Beatitudes at that chapel, there was a small group of German Christians praying the Lord's Prayer. I paused long enough to recognize their inflections. I can't speak German, but I can recognize it. I recognize their inflections and recognize the Amen and the pattern of their prayer, the Lord's Prayer in German. Now, I walked to another place on the Mount of Beatitudes, and there were a group of Liberian Christians praying in their own way with vigor and vim to the God who saves, to the God who lives, and to the God we claim to be our very own. And I thought, from that little journey, which was like a walk through United Nations, I thought, do we remember that Christ belongs to the whole world? That Christ isn't just here in our little place, on our little piece of land? And how do we steward this gift of Christ? Do we offer it to others? Are we good tenants, treasuring this message and giving it away? Because that's what God calls us to do. Not to treasure it for our own little selves, but to be sure that the world knows. The world who sits beside us, the world who lives beside us, our neighbors, our friends, the world who works beside us, people at work. Do we steward this gift of Christ in a way that Christ is multiplied and shared with all? Because this bread and this fruit of the vine, although it nourishes us, it's not for us alone. That's why this table doesn't have Francis Asbury on it. It doesn't even have the United Methodist Church's name on it, although it might be on a list of property that we own as a church. This table doesn't have my name on it. I haven't come and carved my name as the pastor of the church. Here, this table belongs to Jesus himself. And he asks, what kind of tenants are we? How will we steward this gift of Christ? Servants at the table. We all raised our hands. Most of us raised our hands. Servants of the table. Let's see you servants out there. Anybody willing to admit? Okay. Here's something for us to keep in mind. 13% of our population is Latino. It encompasses about 37 million people, in the United States. Latino and Hispanic people build houses, they mow lawns, they clean tables. How many would be welcome in our church? This is a powerful question for us. And here is how things have changed. Just recently I was with our district superintendent, John Boggs, and this is what he said. Years ago, a church who was aware of the Hispanic community would say to him, you know what, those people need to learn Spanish. And he told us when we met with him at a coffee shop, now this particular church doesn't say, those people need to learn how to speak English. I might have said Spanish. That church doesn't say, those people need to learn how to speak English. That church says, you know what, I think we need to learn how to speak Spanish so that we can be present to our neighbors who are Spanish speakers. Isn't that a change in understanding servanthood and how we steward the gifts and how we serve at God's table? Because this isn't just our table. This table belongs to Jesus the Christ. Now finally, there was a new Christian in the church. This new Christian had no church background at all. And he read in the bulletin, next Sunday, the church will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And he called the pastor on Monday. And he said, I've got two questions about this announcement in the bulletin. It says we're having the Lord's Supper next Sunday and we're celebrating it together. And his questions were, am I invited? And how much will this Lord's Supper cost? The world, my brothers and sisters, is asking us this question today. Are they invited to the Lord's table? And how much does this supper cost? The way we answer these two questions will determine what kind of tenants we are and what kind of servants we are. So we need to remind each other there is a lot of work to do in the vineyard. And this work is a joy and it is also a challenge. This work is saving work. But if you look around at who God has provided and what God has provided, wow, what a feast. The table is not ours. It is not mine. We all just work here. The vineyard, the table, the bread, and the cup. Everything in the vineyard belongs to God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, often we can feel as if we own you, as if you are an individual God, Often, holy God, we consider the gift of Christ to us alone. And this is true. It is true, God, that you belong to us. And it is true that Jesus saves us. It is true that Jesus saves a wretch like me. The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the chief. But at the same time, God, you saved the world. You remind us that Jesus' body, broken, blessed, and given, well, this is a gift that belongs to everyone on the face of the earth. Whether they live in Ethiopia or Liberia, whether they live in Indonesia or in Tonga, whether they live in China or Hong Kong, whether they live in Latvia or Lithuania or England or Scotland or Canada or Mexico or Nicaragua or Guatemala or Costa Rica. God, your gift of Christ extends beyond our wildest dreams. And the gift of his life and his teaching and his ministry and his suffering and his prophecy and his death and resurrection, well, that gift never stops giving. So you call each of us, Holy God, to seize on the individual gift of salvation that we have through Jesus the Christ. And then you offer and call and request and beg that we turn and share this gift with others. For you called the Israelite people, our Hebrew brothers and sisters, to be a blessing. You called them to be blessed so that they might bless the whole world with this precious gift of life and forgiveness. God, this day, remind us that we are part of a great communion, a communion we can't even recognize or understand or realize. And we give you thanks that we are guests at this holy table and at your heavenly banquet. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.